Shalom Aleichem, everyone. I always like getting the last spot, you know, right before lunch. And it makes it very easy to speak. But it looked like this morning went very, very well. And Baruch Hashem looked very strong. And I just want to try to end it, bring everyone together, and share one idea about Rosh Hashanah. You've heard so many already. It could be some of what I'm saying now. Maybe you heard parts. Maybe you heard the whole thing. And then just review. But I want to start off with three different questions that I've had and try to bring in a theme of Rosh Hashanah, one theme to try to bring it all together. And that is as follows. The Vilna Gaon, it's recorded that during the shofar, he had an incredible simcha. He was so happy. They're blowing the shofar. And it says that that's how everyone should be. During the shofar, you're supposed to be happy. And that's kind of against what I always thought. You know, the shofar, scary. It's Day of Judgment. You have to be trembling. What does this mean? You're supposed to be happy that the shofar is being blown, like the Vilna Gaon says, because you're crowning the king. I mean, that's a scary thing, right? The second question is that we have in Shmona Esrei a lot of names for Hashem. I'm talking about Shmona Esrei during the week. Well, we mention Hashem and different attributes of Hashem. And there's one word, Melech, that Hashem is the king, which appears in the bracha Melech Ohev Tzedakah Mishpat, that Hashem is the judge. Okay, we understand he's the king, so he's the judge. Right? But then it comes in one other place, in the entire Shmona Esrei, and that's it. And that's in the bracha of Rifa'enu. When we're beseeching Hashem to heal people, we say that Kel Melech Rofei Ne'eman V'Rachaman Ata. We mention that Hashem is the king in respect to the fact that we want someone to be healed. Why over there, more than any other bracha of Shmona Esrei, do we mention this idea of Melech? And the third question that I have is that we know that the Chazan always stands at the podium, right, at the Bima, in front of the Tzibor, and that's where he davens from. All year long we do that. Even Rosh Hashanah and Kippur we do that. Except at Shacharis and Rosh Hashanah. We have this very, very strange custom that the Chazan of Shacharis is standing somewhere in the crowd. You don't know who it is. It's a surprise. Right? And then all of a sudden he says, HaMelech. And then he walks up into the front. I mean, it could be the guy sitting right next to you. He's the Chazan. Didn't know that the whole time. He's right there. You're wondering why he was going like this all, you know, till he got up there. But yeah, he's saying, why do you start off by saying the word HaMelech inside the tzibur in front of the congregation? Just walk up there. You'd save a few seconds from davening. Just start up there. What's the deal? Okay? So the answer to all these ideas is to understand what does it mean that Hashem is the Melech. When we say that Hashem is the Melech, what do we mean by that? And I want to focus on a Gemara that many of us are going to learn very soon. It's a Gemara in Brachos and Daf Zayin. It also is found in Avodah Zarah and Daf Dalet. That the Gemara says that there's one minuscule time during the day when Hashem exhibits wrath. Hashem himself can never get angry, but he exhibits wrath on this tiny little moment of the day. And no one really knows when that is, except one person in the history of the Jewish people, and that is Bilam. Bilam knew when to pinpoint that tiny little moment. And if Bilam would have cursed the Jewish people during that little moment, forget it. We would have been finished. Okay, so Tosus asks the following question, both in Avodah Zarah and in Maseches Brachos. Tosus asks, what in the world could he have said in that tiny little moment? Right? If you would have said, destroy the Jews, that's too long. That's already three words, right? That's not a little moment. In a little moment, what could someone have said, what could Bilam have said to destroy the Jewish people? So the first answer, this is a side point, which is interesting. One answer of Tosas is that as long as you start something at a certain point and then continue, it all goes based on that time. So if you would have started the curse in that little moment, even though the sentence, kill the Jews, would have taken a long time, that would have been okay since it started in that moment. And believe it or not, this is not the halacha, but the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that when it comes to for davening Shmona Esrei, we all know, they can't just daven Shmona Esrei whenever you want. There's a specific time during the day that you have to daven Shemoneh Esrei. How about if you like 3 minutes left, 1 minute left, so you start at the last minute, and then you continue for another 5 minutes, because who in the world can say Shemoneh Esrei in less than 5 minutes, right? So it's the last minute that you go ahead and you start your Shemoneh Esrei. So the Aruch HaShulchan brings an opinion that says that that works. Since you start in the beginning, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, where did we know this from? He says, from this Tosfos. From this Tosfos that says that if Bilam would have cursed the Jewish people starting from that moment, that would have worked. So therefore, there are some opinions that hold that way, that it could work. We don't hold this way. Mishnah Berurah says, it's not the halacha. You have to finish the entire Shemoneh Esrei before the end time. Okay. But then Tosfos gives another answer. What would Bilam have said in such a small amount of time? He would have said, we have a marker. He would have said, Chaf Lamed Mem Kalem. Kalem means to destroy them. Kalem. But like you say very quickly, Kalem, destroy them. It's easy to remember this because it sounds like kill them. Kill them. That's it. Kill them. Right. Kalem means destroy them. Okay. Kalem very quickly sounds like kill them. That's what he would have done. That's what he would have said in that small amount of time. Okay. So what happened? Why didn't Bilam do it? So Tosfos says that Hashem performed a nes. And he switched the word kalim to a different word. Instead of kalim, he said the word melech. Usruas, there's a pasuk. Usruas melech bo. Usruas melech bo, the word melech has the same letters, chaf lamed and mem, as this, chaf lamed and mem. Just scramble the letters. Scramble the letters instead of Bilam, who wanted to say the word kalim. That's what he wanted to do. But Hashem flipped the letters around and the word melech came out. Okay, so it sounds like a technicality. You wanted to curse the Jewish people, say Kalem, and Hashem switched the letters. Really, Hashem could have switched it to, let's say, Lamed Mem Chaf, and he would have said Lemech, which means the name of a person. That would have been okay also. He could have switched it to Camel, I don't know, something, we don't, anything could have happened that as long as he doesn't say Kalem, right? Wrong. The Marsha says a fascinating thing on Tosos. He says that Hashem didn't just scramble the letters, but the Pasuk says, in Parshas Kisetze, the Pasuk says, V'lo'ava Hashem elokecha l'shmuel Bilam. Hashem didn't listen to Bilam. V'yafoch Hashem elokecha l'cha es haklala l'bracha. Hashem flipped the curse that Bilam was going to give into a bracha. He didn't just not let him say kalem. By saying the word melech, he flipped the word kalim, which is a curse, into a blessing. How in the world is the word melech a blessing? Like, you know, don't do this, right? But Rosh Hashanah night, you want to give a guy a bracha, say, I hope you have a melech. That's not, oh, thanks. You know, like, that's not exactly a blessing, right? Well, why is the word melech a blessing? But that's what really was going on. Hashem flipped the word kalim, which meant to destroy. He flipped into a blessing by letting Bilam tell the Jewish people that it should be a melech bo, there should be a king amongst the people. How is the word melech a blessing? See, here comes the idea of what does it mean that Hashem is melech? The Ramchal writes this in Derech Hashem. The Nefesh HaChaim writes this. The Maharal writes this. Rav Hirsch writes this. Everyone says this. And that is that there's a very big difference between the different names that we give to Hashem. We say that Hashem is Ado, right? Noi, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. What does that mean? It means that Hashem created the world. Okay. There's another word that we're familiar with. Elokeinu. Elokim. What does that mean, Elokeinu? Elokeinu means that Hashem runs the world. He could have created the world and just let it go. No, that wasn't enough. Elokeinu means that Hashem runs the world. But then there's another level, a third dimension, and that is melech. Melech means that Hashem didn't just create the world, he doesn't just run the world, but he wants to have a relationship with us. Melech means that he wants to have a personal relationship with every single one of us. That's why the Nefesh HaChaim writes that you're allowed to daven. Where in this world does it come from? You could daven to Hashem, chutzpah. It's ridiculous. How can you daven to Hashem? Because he wants a relationship with you. He's knocking on the door. Hello, I'm here. Let's talk. Okay, no problem. Baruch Atah, you. Me? Yeah, you. You. Directly, you. I'm not speaking to you in third person. You. God. Let's talk. When a relationship, that's what Nefesh HaChaim says. Because Hashem is melech. If he just created the world, how dare you talk to him? If he's just running the world, how dare you talk to him? But the fact that he wants to have a relationship with me, let's schmooze. Right? Let's have a relationship. Right? That is what it means that Hashem is the melech. Unbelievable. And that's what the Maharal says, a fascinating thing, that if you look at the word melech itself, mem, lamed, chaf, right, this happens to be three letters that go opposite direction in the Aleph Beis.
right? Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Ches, Tes. Oh, perfect. Yud, Chaf, Lamed, Mem. Right? Mem, Lamed, Chaf goes towards the Yud. The Yud, number 10, represents the Tzibur, the congregation, represents Bnei Yisrael, represents the Jewish people. And it's also the smallest letter because Hashem faces the Melech, goes towards the Yud, he goes towards the person. He wants to have a relationship with the people, even the smallest person. Not the famous guy, not the biggest Talmud Chacham, not the biggest Tzaddik, every little guy. Hashem wants to have a relationship with us. And that's why the Mem Lamed Chaf goes towards the Yud. And Rav Hirsch says that a fascinating thing. He says the word Nasi, what does the word Nasi mean?
Leader,
president, very good. It also means, along the same lines, the king of the Jewish people. In Mishnah Horios and Daf Yud, because the pasuk, the Nasi is the king of the Jewish people. It's the leader. The word Nasi has another meaning in Lashon HaKodesh. We say it in davening. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Ma'ale nisiyim mikitzei ha'aretz. I'm sure everyone knows what that means, but I'll translate it just in case. Ma'ale nisiyim mikitzei ha'aretz, and he brings up the clouds from the ends of the earth. The word nisiyim means clouds. The same exact word in Lashon HaKodesh means the king of the Jewish people, the leaders, and clouds. What's up? Oh, what's up? That's one of the answers of the Medrash. That was an accident. That the Medrash says one of the reasons that the same exact word, anytime Lashon HaKodesh has the same exact word, has to have a deeper meaning. We don't just have stam words. So the Medrash says that the reason is because they're both up, they're both high. The king is above, and the clouds are up in the sky. Rav Hirsch has a much deeper answer than the Medrash. Rav Hirsch says because a king and a cloud is identical. How's that? How is a cloud formed? Right? We all learned in high school. Evaporation, maybe in elementary school as well. Right? There's something called evaporation. Right? The water comes up from the earth and builds up a cloud. All of a sudden you have a cloud full of water. What does a cloud do with all that water that it has? It doesn't say, look at me. I'm nice and fluffy. I'm going to go ahead and show myself. No, he goes ahead and he takes his water and he gives it back to the earth. He gives it back down to the people so that it could be vegetation, there could be growth, there could be fruits, vegetables, people could drink the water, they could live. He gives it back, it gets built up, and then it goes back down. Gishmi bracha, a bracha to the world. That is what the king is. The king doesn't go ahead and get built up. You elect him, you give him money, pay taxes, right? Like we all envision from history, the medieval ages, right? You have the king back in his palace with the crocodiles and the moats, right? You can't touch the king. You can't get close to him. Forget about it, right? The Jewish king was the exact opposite. The Jewish king would go down to war and fight with the people. He'd go there with the people and fight with them. He'd walk around with a sefer Torah to give musar to the people, to try to get them back to be chozer b'tshuva. The king of the Jewish people were part of the people. That's what the cloud is. The cloud and the king operate in the exact same way. You build them up, you elect them, you give them the kavod, you give them what they need, and then back down. Right back down to the people, caring about every single individual. The melech goes back to the yud. This is what the melech means. This is what it means that Hashem is the king. There was once a story near the city of the Mir, the city of the actual city called Mir. The Mir is a yeshiva, right? That originally came from Poland, from a city. And the Mashgiach, Ruchim Levavitz, said the following story. The Tsar, the head governmental official, was coming to visit the town. So all the people from the neighboring towns all got dressed up, they showered, they combed their hair, they wanted to look good. The head honcho is coming, we got to look good. There was one town that didn't get dressed up, nothing. They walked out and they lied down on the street. So when the king would come with his chariots, he wouldn't be able to move. And they protested because there was someone in jail that was unjustly put in jail. And they wanted to protest because only the king could let him out. And the people from the neighboring communities were like, these guys are crazy. The head guy is coming. Right? You get dressed up. You look good. You don't just lie down in your daily, weekly clothing and just sit there. And this is the head guy, the Tsar, is going to kill them. Forget it. These guys are finished. And when the king, it wasn't a king. When the Tsar got there, he stopped and he said, I'm more impressed with these people than everyone else. These people I appreciate more than everyone else. Why? Because everyone else honored me from an external place. Externally, yes, we have to show our cover, we have to get dressed up, we have to look good, smell good, right? These people said, look, You're the king. You're the head guy. We believe in you, and we know that you're the only person that could change around this unjust judgment. So we're appealing to you. They showed that they really believed in me, that they really thought that I have power. That means more to me than everyone else. It just looks good and smiles. When you have a relationship with someone, and you know that that person can make a difference, you talk to the person. You speak to them. You say, look, Hashem, give me what I need in order to be matzliach. I want to have an amazing year this year. I want you to grow. I want you to change. I want you to experience Eretz Yisrael. Give me the ability to have that. It can always be changed in any moment. God forbid someone could be sick. They get to have a hurricane. Anything can happen at any moment. We've seen it. We've seen it happen. But with one small act, with one small beseeching of Hashem, everything can just change around. So Hashem, we have a relationship. We're in this together, right? Help me out. We talk in that way. And that's why I believe the Gra held that during the coronation of the king on Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to be ecstatic. Because we have our guy in there. You know, it's one thing if you elect the President of the United States, you're not happy. You think he's going to ruin the country. So you're not happy. If you think he's going to help you, then you are happy. If he's your best friend and your brother, then you're really happy, right? Here's this person, the Melech. You know him. He wants a relationship with you. And he's in. He's been coronated today. Wow, this is awesome. This is so exciting, right? But obviously comes with a responsibility. Comes with an achrayus. My man's in there. I got to talk to him. I got to work with him. I got to learn with him. I got to understand him. That's what it's all about. But it comes first with the basis of understanding who it is. Not, oh, I'm scared. It's about, wow, this is awesome. Let me speak to you. Let me learn with you. Let me get to know you in a better way. And that's why the bracha of Rifa'enu is the only place where we have the word melech. Because there specifically, if someone's sick, chas v'shalom, right? So there, all of a sudden, melech. Oh, Hashem's the king. What's it mean, the king? Not someone who doesn't care about me, someone that's far away, distant, in different country. He's my melech. Hashem, I need your help right now. This person's sick. You know, it was unbelievable. I don't know how many of you have been following, but you only got to know Rav Gav for a short period of time, right? But recently he was sick, and there was a big scare. And all of a sudden, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were davening for him. There was a Gesher WhatsApp group from last year. All of a sudden, it was like in minutes. The entire Tehillim was being finished in America. It was unbelievable what was going on. Absolutely unbelievable. Baruch Hashem, he's getting better now. But that's what happens. Someone gets, Hashem, we need you right now. We got to start mobilizing the troops. We got to start davening a few more mitzvahs. We got to make it happen. We got to connect to Hashem because we have a guy in the inside. We just got to activate it. It's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable thing. And I sent him an email last night. I said, you know, God, I wasn't sure if you were really sick. You were just trying to create a mass tshuva movement before Rosh Hashanah. You know, like it's unbelievable what's going on. Absolutely incredible. Right? And that's why we mentioned the word melech right then. And that's why we start off the Shachar's davening, HaMelech, with the Chazin amongst the people. Because it's trying to show us that the king, HaMelech, he's not up there in the podium. He's not up there in the front that's going ahead and now going to show off his beautiful voice. He's right there with us. He's right here. And that's what kicks off the davening. That's what kicks off our whole Avodas Hayom. That's our whole hashkafa going to be for the rest of the day. That we have our man inside. We want to connect. We want to daven. And we want to make it happen. And hopefully with this understanding, our Rosh Hashanah will be tremendous. We'll be able to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the greatest way. We'll all have a ksiva chesima tova. Amen.